Florida law. Ask an attorney. Just give him a call.
This is Ask an Attorney, all about Ask Florida law attorney. With attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a legal question, call Joe right now in Tampa. Call 813-287-5700. Anywhere else, toll free at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. The law office is open. And now your host, Joe Pippin.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. And if you have a legal question, all you have to do is to dial the toll-free number, which is 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. And phone lines are open. Your question can be just about anything. It can be about wills, trusts, probate, guardianship, power of attorneys, health care surrogates. Can be family law, can be traffic law, it can be just about, you know, any area of law that you possibly can think about. And if you want to call and have a discussion this morning, or if you want to get some information, I'd be more than glad to try to help you. Again, the toll-free number is 877-943-9673. You're listening on multiple stations around Florida. If you you might be listening on 570-910, we're broadcasting out of Tampa today. That also includes 860 and 930. You also might be listening on WLVF 90.3 FM out of Haines City, Florida. You might be listening in the Sun City Community FM station, 96.3 on your dial. You might be listening on multiple stations. Some of those stations have AM and FM components to it. And we're just glad to be here. So the main purpose of our show is to answer legal questions. And we come in every Saturday morning and either broadcast from Tampa or Jacksonville usually. Sometimes we have a remote site. But if you would like to call in, I always like that first caller to get the show started. It's sole purpose for me to come in is to answer legal questions. So every week we're here to just talk to you, give you a little peace of mind, give you some direction, get you started in the right direction on a legal situation. So 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open, and we are more than glad to try to help you. We're also broadcasting live on WeBeam TV. And if you have a would like to watch the show sometimes, you could certainly do that. And just WeBeamTV.com. And you can watch Ask an Attorney all about Florida law. So again, the toll-free number is 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. So one of the questions I ask when people come in that want to do estate planning, I will usually ask them a series of questions so I can kind of frame them up in my mind. So I asked a couple that was sitting in front of me, I said, is this a first marriage? And the gentleman says, yes, between the two of us. So his wife kind of chuckled at that answer. And actually I said, well, no, my question is, have you had other marriages? I mean, is this your first marriage? Marriage mean the first time you've been married and you're married to each other for the first time and you've stayed married. So he said, well, he didn't quite understand the question, so his wife helped him out a little bit. It actually was like the third marriage for each of them. Let's go to Andre in Winter Haven.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I listen to your show from time to time, mainly whenever I'm working. So I like to ride and listen. I was in a conversation with my mom and my brothers about wills and trusts.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I didn't explain them as well as you could because you kind of enlighten me a little on wills and trusts and what makes a trust better than a will.
Mm-hmm.
If you could explain that, I'd appreciate it.
Okay. Well, the same information that I would need to prepare a will or a trust, the same information is the same. So I asked a series of questions. At the end of the day is the difference. So when a person that creates a will or trust passes away, is where all the difference is in the document, basically. Well, there is a little bit of difference if you become incapacitated. So basically, if you die with a will, the will goes through probate. If you have any assets just in your name, the will becomes a public record. The will doesn't deal with if you become incapacitated. And the will upon death is, like I said, a public record. If you have a living trust, then those assets are still in the name of the living trust when the person dies. So the assets are not in the name of a deceased person. So therefore, those assets in the trust do not go through probate. It's if the person becomes incapacitated that created the trust, you know, becomes incapacitated, then the successor trustee can manage things for their benefit and a lifestyle they're accustomed. So the living trust avoids probate, avoids guardianship, makes it quick, easy, fast, efficient to close down the estate. States take through probate takes 6 to 12 months. With a trust, it can be much, much faster than that. And the trust is a private document. So the will doesn't. So the will is going to go through probate, take a long time. Efficient and private.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
Right.
There's no way I would have explained it that good. So, okay, perfect. I got it now.
All right, very good.
All right, thank you.
All right, thank you. So if you have a legal question, phone lines are open. I'd be more than glad to help you in any way I can. You have a toll-free number. Talk a little slower when I give that out. So it's 877-943-9673. So again, phone lines are open at 877-943-9673. And let's go to Grant in Jacksonville.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
I have a landlord-tenant question. On our property, in my house, in my backyard, we have a very large garage, concrete floor, probably 2,000 square foot. My landlord wanted to store some stuff in there. We said, yeah, that's fine. We also have stuff in there. We basically divided it in half. I have my stuff on one half. They've stored stuff on the other half. There's never been an issue with, you know, between us and the landlord. We've been friends. But they came to us 2 days ago and told us that we need to get all of our stuff out of that garage, that they're going to store more stuff in there. They need every bit of the room in there. So we've got to get our stuff out. And they're going to secure it and not allow us access to it. They told us this.
Mm-hmm.
We already have a bunch of stuff in there. I mean, I work on four-wheelers, trucks, and stuff inside this garage.
How long have you been in the lease?
We've lived there for a little over 2 years. There's been two separate owners. The property was in foreclosure with the other mm-hmm. owner, so this new guy bought it who lives in the area also. But there is no written lease. There wasn't with the previous owner. There's not one with this owner.
All right. Well, with no lease.
They want to take all our stuff out.
Okay. With no lease, they could terminate the lease and give you 30-day notice.
Right.
So,
as far as them forcing us to move our stuff out of that garage.
Well, I think this is more of a practical question somewhat than a legal question. Because the legal answer would be, if you don't do what they say, they're just going to terminate you and get you out of there in 30 days.
Right.
So, I mean, what else matters at that point?
I understand. If I say no, I'm not going to move my stuff, then they're going to evict us. But really, I don't have to move my stuff until they evict us out of there.
Well, I think that would be the time you spend money for attorneys to argue that point. It's not going to be worth it. So it's really a practical answer. You have a month, and what was the understanding? The understanding was that you could have half of the garage. I mean, but that was all verbal. So, I mean, he's going to say, well, no.
Exactly.
He's going to say, no, I never gave him permission to use the garage. They used half of it. So now I've told them to get out of the garage.
Yeah.
I mean, so you're just going to be in a verbal battle. So he's going to evict right. you. And the bottom line right. is he's going to evict you.
Yeah, I understand. That's
so I would drag your feet along enough for you to find another place quickly would be my answer.
Right, I understand.
That's not necessarily a legal answer, but I think that's what I would do.
I got to.
Yep.
Yeah, all right. Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
All right, buddy. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. Sometimes the legal answer is, doesn't really help you as much as just the practical answer once you think through the problem. That's the way I think. So I like to answer questions basically in a manner, what would I do in that circumstance? And, you know, I would probably understand my legal rights fully. And do I want to get into a battle? Do I want to have legal costs? Do I want to be involved in a big hassle on something like that? Or do I want to come to a quicker, better solution for me in the end, which would be to keep my stuff in the garage as long as I could while I'm looking for a new place, because I'm going to be evicted anyway. Let's go to Lana in Holiday.
Good morning. I've got a question. I have a cousin that is in a nursing home. She's been there since she was 35. She's now 51. She's got multiple sclerosis. She's now at a stage where she's either bedridden most of the time or otherwise in the wheelchair. She's lost the ability to speak, to function in any other ways. So I'm her power of attorney, and I'm also her health care surrogate. For the last 15 years, anytime there has been an overage in her account, I've been told that we need to reduce it so Medicaid will continue paying for the nursing home. So what I've done with that money, and it's not much, a couple hundred dollars. I usually
a couple of hundred dollars?
Right.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I think they have to have
less than
$2,500
or less than $2,000,
yeah. Right. So anytime it starts getting really high, or they start doing that. Last time I think it was $600, mm-hmm. something like that. And I don't keep it for myself. I usually give it to her brother, which she had agreed upon originally, because he's really indigent. Now, she has, now since she's bedridden, she cannot spend the money on anything. She can't verbalize. And she has close to $3,000 that they have to take out. So they refused to give it to me, said, no, we can't do that. I have already prepaid all her medical expenses. Well, not her medical expenses, her funeral expenses. Mm-hmm. I get all her clothes. I buy everything for her. So they want me now to sign a form called Resident Fund Management Services. Because she's got everything. She doesn't. They're trying to think of ways to spend this money. And mm-hmm. she's got everything she needs.
Well, they're trying to keep her on Medicaid.
Right. No, I understand. I'm 100% for that. But now they're regulating certain things where I can put the money. And I suggested, I said, look, even though her funeral expenses are completely prepaid, I'm concerned that when I do have to bury her, there might be a sudden expense that they forgot. So they said, okay, what we're going to do, we're going to create a non-transferring account and put it into a burial account, mm-hmm. irrevocable.
Yes. That would be the logical thing to do.
Okay. Now, is that, can you think of anything else? Because I don't trust this new person they have there.
Well, and if I were you, I have a full-time Medicaid VA attorney that would be glad to consult with you about that. And there are several other options on the table, I would think.
Okay.
So if you want to call him, I can give you the number.
Okay, what is it?
Or you can email me and I can send it to you, whichever way you prefer.
Oh, okay. That'll be fine.
All right, email me at Joe, J-O-E, at A-T-T-Y-P-I-P .com, and I will send you his contact information.
Okay, no, I have another question pertaining to that. They have a company that goes into the nursing home that brings clothing, and if the residents want that, they can, you know, purchase whatever they want. It's rather expensive, but that's their policy. I think it was earlier in the year, I get a form from the social services person that said, okay, you need to authorize this so we can purchase the clothes for your, well, she calls me her sister, for your sister. And it was like $1,100. I go, no way, that's ridiculous. And I looked to see what she wanted, and it was like 15 pairs of this, 10 pairs of that, and I know, first of all, she doesn't need it. Her closet's overflowing with all the clothes that I bought for her. And so they said, okay, now this time they went ahead and they allowed her to purchase clothing, even though I've told them not to. They've done this for 15 years the same way. Now all of a sudden a new person comes in and they want to change it. Mm-hmm. I don't care if she purchases, she spends her money. That's not my concern.
She no longer has the ability to decide how to spend money, right?
No, she doesn't. I mean, she can't verbalize. And the thing is, the very next day, she doesn't remember she purchased any of that.
Yeah. Well, no,
so
you
that's
should.
Why I'm concerned.
Yeah, you should take control. You should have your attorney. If things get out of line, the attorney can just write a letter for you. So
okay.
Once I give you, my attorney's name is John Frazier. Once I give you his information, he'll get everything straightened out for you.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, because. Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
All right.
Bye.
You're listening to Ask an Attorney, All About Florida Law. Again, I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. If you'd like to call the show, you have a toll-free number, which is 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. And the phone lines are open, and we're here to help as many people as we possibly can. If you'd like to watch the show today, it's on WeBeamTV.com. You go to WeBeamTV.com and you can watch Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. And we televise the show every other week. When I'm in Tampa, we televise it every other week. But the show is also, we have our own app on iPhones, which is Ask an Attorney. So they have a whole list of shows for a long period of time there every week. We download the show on Ask an Attorney app on the iPhone. Also, most of the stations have podcasts where they carry a repeat of the show. So if you hear something that might be helpful to someone else, you can always go to the station website itself and listen to it again or part of it again on the podcast. Let's go to Mike in Dunedin. Hey, Mike.
Hey, sir. How are you?
Good.
I just had a quick something. I just wanted a little bit of knowledge of before I go into a meeting on Monday. I have a little bit of a labor dispute going on, and can I ask a question about that?
Sure.
Okay, so I had a manager write me up for not completing the course the corporation wanted done in time, and there was a lot of circumstances, but that doesn't matter. But in this write-up that was going in my permanent file at work, he put this timeline on that was all lies and everything else. And the reason I know that they were is because him and I were having digital, text messages back and forth. And, so everything he said in there was not true. So I went to the HR office and said, I have an issue with this. Can I put an addendum into the file? I don't want somebody reading this a year later and thinking I was a problem employee or something. So I wrote a 3-page addendum to that. And now the HR manager wants to speak to both of us. And it seems as if she, after speaking to her for about just 2 minutes, that she's not on my side about this. So I'm about to go show them evidence and everything else. But is that legal for somebody to just put into a file of a corporation's employee a whole bunch of non-true information?
Well, you get into the situation that's what the person who did it probably actually believes. But you have the right to dispute it like you're disputing it for the file.
And I have digital information from him, from that manager, text messages back and forth, disputing everything that he put in there as not being true.
Now, is this a manager you work directly for?
Correct.
So how do you think this is going to end up with a long-term relationship between you and the manager there? So,
yeah, in my addendum, I kind of started off and put it in conclusion. I don't want to be working under a dark cloud, that's for sure. I don't want that. I just want to have this cleared up, but... At the same time, I can't just have you put in the file anything that's not true about me. So, yeah, I mean, it's a tough situation for me. But legally, could I possibly get dismissed from this company that way?
Well, do you have a long? Do you have an employment contract?
I actually work for a union company, but I don't pay union dues because I don't really believe.
So the answer is no, you don't have a contract. As a union, so the union is going to be no help to you because you didn't join the union, correct?
Probably not, yeah.
Yeah. Well, without an employment contract, they can fire you. It doesn't matter what the reason is. I mean, they could probably just make up a reason and fire you. So you've already got the meeting scheduled. So now if you don't go, they're just going to say, well, probably everything that follows true. So now you got to probably force to go defend yourself and hope for the best.
Yeah, I got you. I'm just not the argumentative or anything.
Yep, because you got to work for this manager, and now he's going to have a little bit of an attitude that he's probably going to feel like he's wasting his time in this meeting, and that he didn't do anything wrong, and you did, and you work for the guy, or gal, whoever it might be. But so I don't know. You have the right to contest information in your file and ask that your reply to what you've been charged with basically is not true, and you asking for that to also be put in the file, and there you have a referee with the human resources person. So I think you've that's where you are.
Okay. All right. I do appreciate your help. I hope you have
all right, Mike. Day. All right. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to Sherry in Winter Haven.
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning. What can we do for you?
My question is, okay, if I want a friend to have access to my protected health information, but be able to make health decisions if I should need that, but they would not have any right to make any financial decisions, is there a paper I could sign, and how much would it cost to have that done?
Yeah, you can give the person what's called a healthcare surrogate document.
Healthcare surrogate
document. So we charge $125 for a document like that.
Okay, and it would take care of all that I mentioned. But
yes,
no,
ma'am. Access medical records, because you have to have something like that to get around the HIPAA laws.
Okay, and they'd not be able to do anything financial for you, right?
Right.
No, they couldn't do anything with finance. Well, thank you so much, sir.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. Again, I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open, and we are here to help you in any way we possibly can. All you have to do is dial the toll-free number to call in with your legal question, 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. And let's go to Michael in Jacksonville.
Good morning, Mr. Pippin.
Good morning.
I have a labor question that I like to ask. I am an employee of a company that hires out to other companies. I work
You mean contract employees?
Yes.
And are you a contract employee or are you a regular employee?
Contract.
Okay.
And I'm hourly. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is not about pay. So I've gotten paid. My question is there an authority at the state or federal level that says an hourly employee cannot work more than X consecutive days?
Well, the website, myflorida.com, has a list of all of the agencies in Florida.
And, okay.
And they have tons of information about questions like that on there.
All right.
I think a contract employee is treated differently than a regular employee because you're not on the payroll, so to speak, as an employee of the company, and you're a contract employee, and the contract can probably say almost anything that y'all agree to. And I know there are rules, federal rules, about truck drivers driving so many consecutive days. And so there are different categories of different types of jobs that have all different rules.
Okay.
So I'd probably have to sit down. If I were to try to really answer that question and nail you the answer, I'd probably have to sit down and ask you a lot of information and do a little research. But the good place for you to start with would be myflorida.com. And then there's a wage and hour and employment section in there that you can get lots of information from.
Okay. The issue is that because of various circumstances, it was necessary for me to work almost 26 consecutive days without interruption. And I'm trying to determine, is there some authority that prevents a company from working an employee that many days in a row?
I would think if you're a contract employee and it's not covered by your contract employment agreement, that I don't think, unless it's like a truck driver who has to take breaks and can only drive so many hours and has to have time off here and there. I mean, I don't know all of those rules, but I do know there are rules for truck drivers on hours driven and days worked and time off and all that. Unless you are controlled by the type of work you do with those type of rules, I think they could probably get you to agree. Y'all could agree to anything. Now, if you don't like being required to work that many days, just renegotiate your contract employment when time comes, when your contract is going to be renewed.
All right then. All right. You said MyFlorida
MyFlorida.com to look at the employment rules.
Yeah, at the state level, you're saying.
At the state level, yeah.
Okay. All right then. That's a good start for me. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Ask an Attorney, All About Florida Law. Again, I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. We are more than halfway through the show. If you'd like to call the show today, it's 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open, and be more than glad to try to help you. I had an interesting question this week that came into my office, one of my appointments. And basically, one of my clients who had died, his new wife that I didn't know anything about, came in. And she brought in all of his papers and everything. And basically, what had happened shortly before he died, he bought a new house that was going to be the marital home. And basically what happened is it was a VA type of loan, and they wound up putting the home in just the husband's name, and it was the marital home where the wife contributed a large amount of money into the purchase of the home, but her name was not on the deed. Now the husband dies, and what's going to happen to that property? Well, that's a very interesting question. And some of the, just generally, what comes into play is that when a husband dies with a homestead just in his home, the wife has certain rights. She has spousal rights. So the spousal rights generally are, need to mention that the home, she considered half of the home in her name, and half was in his name. So basically, but the deed, I believe, was all just in his name. So basically, what would happen is that the spouse, let's just roll with the question, because this doesn't have to be exactly like the factual situation of the case that came to me. So now I'm going to generalize it a little bit more. So generally, a spouse has a right to live in the home for life. Her spouse dies, the home's just in her name. And let's say, for my example now, I'm changing it to he was 100% owner, and he dies. So she has a right to live there for life, or she could force to sell the house and take half of the proceeds, or take it as tenants in common, which means she'd own half. Usually, just owning half doesn't work, but you have a life estate right to live there for life, or you can take ownership of half. So if you own half and the beneficiaries of the estate own half, then anybody can force a sale of the property. So, and those are statutory rights through probate. The house was not put into the trust the gentleman owned. He put it in just his name. And now we have this to deal with. Just an interesting little fact of law, and when someone dies without fully implementing the trust that they created. Of course, he couldn't have put it just in his trust anyway, because the spouse has spousal rights to the home, so they have to be waived. The spousal contracts have to be waived to be able to put that into a trust. Hey, you're listening to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The phone lines are open right now. So the phone lines are open at 877-943-9673. They're open at 877-943-9673. And if you have a legal question, I'm more than happy to help you in our remaining moments on the show. And your question can be just about anything. It can be about wills, trust, probate. It can be about power of attorneys, health care, surrogates, living wills. It can be about family law. It can be about traffic situations. It can be just about any area of law. I'd be more than glad to help you. Again, 877-943-9673. If you'd like to receive our free poster sheet, we have an estate planning poster sheet we'd be more than glad to send to you. And all you have to do is ask for it. And you can call and ask for it at 1-800-226-3529. Or you can send me an email at Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. Let's go to Michael in Odessa. Good morning.
Good morning. No, it's Michela.
Michela.
So like Michael, it's Michela.
Okay.
I have a question. It's hard for me. My husband passed away a little over a year ago. He was a Marine. I want to get a will set up. I don't have a will for, so I could leave the house to my son. He's my only son. Which is the best way to go about it? Is the one online legal, or how should I do that?
Well, the one online, I mean, there are lots and lots and lots of them online, so I'm not going to know which one you're talking about. Of course, and my suggestion almost always is usually the will doesn't cost very much to have a will prepared by an attorney who's going to explain it to you and have it witnessed and notarized properly, and it's going to be a valid document. You try to pull a will off of a website, and then you try to do it yourself. There are going to be certain questions or certain things, certain little traps you might not do properly. So the other question is, do you really want a will as your primary document? Because when you die with a will, there are going to be some probate procedures, like on a home, since you asked me about the home. The will would have to be filed with the court. Then you have to do through the probate court, you have a petition to determine homestead. And the will would then go through a probate process. And our minimum fee for us to handle something like that is like $2,500 plus there's a court cost. If you were talking to an attorney, you know, at least in our office, we go through the options you have, and one of the other options is a living trust. So a living trust is a fancy will, basically, that avoids probate.
Oh, yeah, that's what I want. I don't want my son to have to go through all this stuff.
Yeah, if you'd gone online, you would have chosen... if you'd gone online, you would have chosen a will, then you would have had probate, which you don't want. If you go and talk to an attorney, more than likely can wind up with a trust to avoid probate.
Okay.
So, all right.
So it's a living trust.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And do you have your office number?
My office number is in your area. It's 727 586-3306.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, and if you want that free estate planning poster sheet, if you're listening, you can call that same number, 727-586-3306, extension 200. That's 727-586-3306, extension 200. We do have a toll-free number. If you're listening in other parts of the Tampa Bay area, like Jacksonville or Orlando or any of the many other New Port Richey area, Port Richey, we have a toll-free number, 1-800-226-3529, extension 200. Let's go to Robert in Tampa.
Hello.
Hey, Robert.
Yes, I have a question about I guess it's a trust fund for my mother. Several years ago, my father was very ill, and we had most of the property that they owned put in trust for her, with the exception of the homestead and his bank accounts that were in his name. And after we did that, we had several pieces of property they owned. I had a deed putting those properties into the trust. Her trust, but I never recorded those deeds, and I don't know whether those would be valid if I didn't have them recorded with the counties that the properties were in to actually do a transfer with the state. Is that necessary, or would those would the deeds that we didn't record still be valid if my father were to die and my mother were to die?
Yeah, as long as the deed is prepared properly and signed by them and witnessed and notarized properly, the deed,
yes, they were.
The deed can be recorded even after death.
Okay, because I don't want any problems with probate, because it was like, well, my concern at the time was I didn't know if I go and record a deed that went from them to a trust for her, what about taxes? In other words, am I going to have to pay taxes? Is there a sale that has to be recorded? Or is it just because?
No, it's between property? Husband. It's between husband and wife.
Yes, originally they were, they originally recorded together, and then he transferred the title to her into a trust.
Okay, was that the homestead?
No, that's not the homestead. These are separate properties. The homestead was never done.
You're probably going to need an attorney to sit down with you and figure out the best course of action. So basically, if the property was just in his name and he transferred it to her?
No,
it was joint names?
Property. It was jointly owned, and they were transferred to her trust.
Okay, and they're both deceased?
They're both still alive.
Oh, both still alive. All right, well, the problem with real estate is that if you transfer a property to on a jointly held property, like that. What I used to do is this. I used to do, if I was going to do two trusts and it wasn't homestead, and the reason for doing two trusts a while back was tax reasons, where it'd be advantageous to have two separate trusts to get two tax exemptions. So now the tax exemption is $11.4 million a person. So the old planning of creating two trusts for many, many people doesn't really work like it was intended to long ago, when the tax exemption was much lower. So now all my clients, basically, or most of them, I won't say all, most clients that come in with the old two trust type of planning, that are in a long first or long-term marriage that own most everything jointly, we just do a joint trust. And then we put everything into the joint trust, and then it automatically belongs to the survivor. And then the survivor, upon the second death, is distributed to how they want it distributed.
Well, no, I've got you confused. These are just vacant pieces of property.
Well, it's real estate, though. It doesn't matter. So if it's just vacant land, then the cost base. See, if he transferred it to her and didn't record the deed, and then he died, and the deed gets recorded, then the cost basis becomes an issue.
Well, yeah, they didn't. Yeah, he transferred it to her. The two of them transferred it to her trust.
But the question is, really now is, do they both need separate trust? It'd be a lot simpler. It'd be a lot simpler just to have a joint trust.
Well, I mean, I'm where I'm at now. I mean, I've got the deeds that were signed several years back, and I never recorded them into her name.
Do they have a joint trust now?
No, they have. It's just her trust.
Okay. Well, see, what does her trust say if she died first? Does she the property all go back to the husband?
No, it doesn't say that. In other words, it was just a transfer to her.
Yeah, but her trust has language on what to do with the property in the trust
yeah,
if
no,
she dies.
I'm one of her children, so it would go to. It was the those properties would be assigned to us.
Okay, so the husband wouldn't benefit at all from that.
No.
Okay, and that's what they want still.
Yes.
Okay, so to answer your question, when he transferred it to her, he gave her whatever cost basis he had on the property. That did not, that stays the same. And if she died, I guess at that point it would get a stepped up basis. But there's no reason on if it's just lots to go ahead and record the deeds now while they're living.
Okay, I can do that, and but I still have to pay the transfer taxes or something. In other words, if there's a transfer...
No, not between husband and wife. It's like $10 if there's no mortgage on the property. It's a very, very minimal fee.
Okay, so there isn't a tax because now the property's worth $50,000 more than when they bought it. Okay.
Right, no, it's just between husband and wife, so there's no consideration.
Okay, that's what I needed to know. I was concerned about recording those and not having the money to pay the taxes.
No, I think under the circumstances, I'd probably go ahead and record that now.
Okay.
And so the sole purpose of having a separate trust was that when one of them died, the property went to the children and not each other?
Yes. I mean, you know, they're both in their 90s.
Okay. Okay.
The homestead is still jointly held separately. So if one of them dies, the house they're living in goes to the survivor.
Well, they should consider a joint trust to avoid the probate process upon the second death.
Okay, I'll try and take care of that, too.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
All right, thank you. You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. Again, I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. And if you have a legal question, we have about only 7 minutes left in the show. So if you would like to call in, you still have time. You have a toll-free number, which is 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. And phone lines are open, and we're here to help as many people as we possibly can. And all you have to do is to dial that number, 877-943-9673. If you'd like our free estate planning poster sheet, on the front side of this large poster sheet are like 5 articles on estate planning. Go through the 3 options you have in estate planning. Go through the pluses and minuses of some of those, including a little diagram of a trust and how that works. On the other side has all of our attorneys and office locations and office phone numbers and office addresses, information about the radio shows we do, and also information about the website. If you'd like this sheet, it'd be very helpful to you, I think. And all you have to do is to ask for it by phone or email. So you can ask for it by phone by 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800-226-3529. Or you can email me at Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. So let's go to Dan in St. Pete. Hey, Dan.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi. I have a hedge that runs between me and my neighbor's house, and my neighbor has taken it upon himself to put a fence in the front of his house, which extends past my hedge, and there's a property marker at the hedge line.
Mm-hmm.
His fence that runs parallel to his house and mine exceeds that property marker. If I am I going to have any issues with him assuming that property is part of his now because his fence runs over past that property marker?
You could, long term, he could claim that as his property, so I would write a demand letter demanding that he move it back to the property line.
Okay. All righty.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, let's go to, I'd like to talk to Arnold in Green Cove Springs.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. Well, thanks for taking my call. I have a real estate question.
I drive through Green Cove Springs all the time, actually.
Okay. Well, you know about this major highway they're putting through here, right?
Yes.
Okay. We bought a house in 2017, and we didn't know. It was not disclosed to us at all. We're like 50 feet from that highway now. The machines are just rolling, and it wasn't disclosed to us. And as a matter of fact, we were told it's an old dairy farm there. There's nothing going to be there but cows, and we made our first payment.
Well, how long ago did you buy the house?
In 2017.
And when did they start construction on that road?
Well, they drove stakes that same year, and they started construction earlier this year. I guess around March is when they started breaking dirt.
All right, so you want to... Yeah.
I'm sorry. There are like 15 of us that weren't told right here next to it, and we're at our wit's end.
Well, I would get, I can find you, I can tell you how to find an attorney that might be able to help you if you want to contact me.
Okay, I'm sorry. We pulled together about 10 of us. We went to a lawyer. He said, you know what? They're supposed to disclose that, but I can't take it on consignment because I can't guarantee a win. You know, because the judge may think, well, you know, you're not wearing the right clothes, or the jury might not like the way you look. He says, it might cost you about 20 or 30 grand. Mm-hmm. And if you had that, you'd move, right?
Well, you could lose, yeah.
Yeah, and none of us have enough money to just leave.
Mm-hmm.
But there was another builder in the same neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
and in 2012, a lady told me they made us sign a disclosure form saying the highway was already coming then. So...
Was the realtor a big realtor name that closed the property?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Was the realtor a big name, a realtor firm? You don't need to tell me. I'm just wanting to know if it's a well-known realtor firm.
Yes. They build houses here and all over the country. And I inquired, you know, they said, there's this nice coastal loop coming mm-hmm. in a while. And I said, Where's this going to be? I looked at it. I said, we don't want anything like that. Oh, no, it's not going to be anywhere near your place.
Yeah.
I mean, it's right. A guy came from the highway department the other day with a camera and said, I take pictures of your house
mm-hmm.
front and back and the sides because the big machines aren't here yet.
Well, listen, and your only answer, though, is to get an attorney to pursue a course of action about that they knew or should have known and didn't disclose it to you, in fact told you just the opposite. So the only recourse you have is to get an attorney. So I don't know if you can shop around a little bit and get one that can do it on contingency, if that's the only way y'all can afford to do it. But you need an attorney. And they're going to assess the risk, and if it was a slam dunk case, you'd probably find one that would take it on contingency. If the attorney that looked at it said, well, maybe... You know, I could possibly, there's a, you know, 70-30 chance, and I don't want to risk spending a lot of time on this and with a 30% chance it might pass. They're not going to take it. So I would shop around for a few more attorneys. But, hey, I'm sorry, my time is up on the show, so I've got to sign out here. So.
Appreciate it.
All right, thank you. Thanks for listening to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin. You can give that one caller on the screen there my cell number. They can call me on the way out of here today if you like, Lahuti. Thanks for listening to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. If you have a legal question, remember, I'm here every week during this time period. So long. You have a great, great weekend.